Romans chapter 4. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of death. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision as seal of righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them that are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be of grace, by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. I desire to read that and then to turn to Genesis chapter 11, 12, 13, and hopefully for the next few meetings in English language I would like us to meditate on those chapters and follow the life of a man that was so special, not because he himself was special, even though there were some specialties. He was a man of great riches and then very poor, not having one single child of his own at a time when children were considered everything. The future of the parents, the security of the old age, and the promise of the distant future, and so on. He had no child, and he really felt that as a difficult burden, as a vacuum in his life. Something is missing, why he had no children. But this man was special because God called him and he answered the calling of God. As I went through these chapters in Genesis about our father Abraham, I noticed that a great part of his life and his struggles and his battle was not always doing something, but waiting for what God is going to do. And that's why I asked you to sing with me that song in this old hymnal, Waiting. Waiting is the school that here beginneth with the very first life breath we take. And its time of trial never endeth till in peace our souls this life forsake. We sang those verses. Waiting was the lot of those elected by the Lord to gain a lofty goal. Joseph, David, Abraham, selected were with others, added to the roll. Our Lord Jesus, hope of all creation, was made ready through dark trials alone, reached the throne through hours of tribulation, and thus, through the cross, received the crown. And then, from these first three verses, the songwriter is giving us an input, a lesson, what we should learn from that. And he says, lo, the husbandman in hope now soweth all his seed upon a fallowed field. Then he waiteth until God bestows springtime's promise of a goodly yield. Springtime's sun, but little fruit matureth. Autumn bringeth the abundance great. We share not the joy such wealth assureth, till we learn to sow and hope and wait. Unexpected. God has often given what the heart to hope no more could bear. Ought this not anew our hearts enliven, but to wait His promises to share? Not a word of His is lost forever. Though fulfillment far away may seem, noble things develop slowly ever. In the Lord we find the joy supreme. Bravely onwards to the goal be striving, though the night of waiting yet abide. Yonder shall you find the brethren living, who attained the crown, though sorely tried. I want to stop here for a moment. One verse is saying, waiting, and the other verse says, bravely onwards. Where do we move? What do we do when we don't know what the next step is in our life? What shall we choose when we see that the only thing we can do is wait on the Lord? What is to be done bravely when we have just to wait? Or sometimes waiting takes a lot of courage. Actually more than courage, trusting the Lord and just wait on the Lord. Not turning in our hearts in another direction, as we will see if we meditate, if we follow the experience of our father Abraham. Father Abraham and Mother Sarah decided to help the Lord. The Lord was unable to fulfill His promise, so they were going to get the children some other way, and it was a disaster. It takes courage and confidence and trusting the Lord to wait and wait patiently. Verse 9 says, through affliction you shall gain the treasure. Like unto your Lord be made most pure, worthy to enjoy the heavenly pleasure. Therefore, wait and suffer and endure. Waiting patiently in silence, hovering, hallows us for future blessedness. Waiting is beneath a somber covering, but the herald of great happiness. Waiting to the end, waiting for the Lord's coming, or any step of the way, waiting for what the Lord shall do. But there is a false waiting also. When the Lord says, go, then we should go and not wait. And there is the enemy that will quickly bang on our ears and say, wait, 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 don't go, it's dangerous, it's too hard. Everybody will say this, everybody will think that, and so on. No, when the Lord says go, go. And when the Lord says wait, wait, even though everybody else is saying rush, rush, rush. That ability and that desire, prayerful desire and prayerful attainment of the gift of God to discern the voice of the Lord and the meaning of His word and His will, and discern that, to know the difference between the voice of the Lord and the voice of the enemy, the voice of the flesh and blood. That's what the Lord said to Peter, blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed to thee that Jesus Christ is the Son of the Most High God and the only Savior, the only Messiah, but my Father which is in heaven hath revealed to thee. And that's blessedness. Well, with that, I would like us to do a little bit more reading. In Genesis chapter 11, we have the genealogy of the family of Shem, the eldest son of our father Noah. And I think we can start with the verse 27. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abraham and Nahor took their wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren, she had no child. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. That's the environment, that's the genealogy, that's the family in which Abram and his wife Sarai are living until the moment of the Lord's calling. And now I would like us to stop for a moment and take a moment for prayer to the Lord. Heavenly Father, as we are now looking into the life of our father Abraham, as thou hast called him out of his people, out of his nation, out of his land, and as thou hast guided him and protected him, Lord God Almighty, we pray that thou open our hearts and minds that we may see that all of that has been done because of thy great goodness and mercy and thy glorious promises that thou hast promised in a moment of a great tragedy, great all of the mankind, that thou shalt send the Redeemer of the seed of woman. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray that we may learn not to repeat the mistakes of Father Abraham, for we know, Heavenly Father, that we have too many of our own. And we pray that Thou deliver us, O Father, have mercy upon us, for we are weak and small. Deliver us from our weaknesses, shortcomings, mistakes, and forgive us when we are hasting forward when Thou art asking us to wait, and when we are lingering still when Thou art asking us to run. Gracious Lord, our mighty God, teach us that godly discernment to know the voice of Thy Spirit and to know the enticement of the enemy. Help us, O Heavenly Father, not to substitute our will for Thine. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, give us that grace and power, O Lord, to know our weaknesses, to know that we are nothing, and that Thou art all in all, and that the fullness of Thy goodness and mercy, the abundance of Thy grace, the glories of the heavenly kingdom, everything is open to us in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Not because of our good deeds, for we have none, not because we are better than anyone else in this sinful humanity, O Lord, but because of Thy measureless goodness and mercy, Thy goodness and grace, O Heavenly Father, that is following us in all the days of our pilgrimage. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, teach us Thou Thy holy word, and help us, O Lord, that we, through the journey of our father Abraham, may perceive more and understand more clearly and embrace more heartily the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, as He has revealed to us. Abraham, our father, has seen the day of Christ and rejoiced in it. Lord God Almighty, help us in this dangerous time, in this time of great apostasy, in this time, O Heavenly Father, when we see that the apparent faith of many is dying and the true faith in very few is persisting. Help us, O Heavenly Father, to see and to know that only in Christ we have our salvation, our deliverance. Only the Spirit of Christ is sustaining our souls on the path of righteousness. And help us, Lord, to realize that even today, still, it is the day of grace. It is the day of salvation. And Thou art revealing Thy truth and calling the sinners and delivering the souls and the hearts that turn unto Thee. Thou art purifying, sanctifying, and filling with Thy Spirit of grace and peace and joy everlasting. O gracious Lord, as we meditate upon thy holy word, we pray that thou exalt the name of Christ, that thou glorify thy name, that thou, O Heavenly Father, manifest the power of thy Spirit, and then, O Lord God Almighty, make us meek and humble, patient and kind. Make us truly and wholly thine, thine inheritance, thy purchased possession, thy children through Christ Jesus. Amen.